This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We always have the certainty that God is about a great work in each and every one of our lives. He's not all thinking about what he's going to do. As we always say here on Women of Grace, he's already engaged in doing it. We simply have to open our eyes to see where that blessing is coming from and how we can receive the grace to cooperate with it and move forward in it. It's very important that we be the people of God that he has created us to be at this moment in history. Always eager to have you join us here on Women of Grace Live. We've got a toll-free number for you. Let me give that number to you. It is available for you in North America. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to use that number to join us live here on Women of Grace Live today. We also are available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply get on out there to EWTN's radio page at YouTube as well as at Facebook. Use the chat feature at both of those sites. Put in your question or comment, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Be sure to tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening, and we'll be only too eager to collect your questions. Get it up on the board. I will be happy to answer it. We're available to you by texting as well. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Do let us know who you are, where you are, and how you are listening to us. And do know also that data rates and message rates may apply if you use that option. We have a wonderful program lined up for you today. I'm going to be interviewing someone who has become a friend of mine over the years, Dr. Robert Enright. An amazing man of God. He has the Forgiveness Institute out of Wisconsin-Madison, and he is just a delightful guest. And in this whole concept of forgiveness is one that is not a suggestion on the part of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a mandate. And at this moment in time, when we have seen so much heinous action breaking out in our country, in our world, in our culture, we have need to understand what forgiveness is about and how it is that we enter into this process and why it is important for us to forgive. Why is it that Jesus tells us that we must forgive? Why is it that the Our Father contains within it, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? And I want to draw your attention to that, as we forgive those. What is that prayer saying? What are you saying every time you pray that prayer? You are saying, in the same way as I forgive, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. So forgiveness is not a suggestion of the Lord. It's a mandate of the Lord. It's a commandment of the Lord. But doing that in the midst of emotional distress, in the midst of times when we're very distraught, when we see heinous actions, as I mentioned earlier, that are happening in our world today, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the killing of those children there in Minneapolis at Assumption Catholic School. You know, when we see all of that taking place, we want to stand in those footsteps of bitterness and resentment and anger. But the Lord says, no. You know, anger is an emotion. It's all right to feel angry. It's all right to feel righteous indignation, but it is not okay to move forward in that. It is not okay to live that out. Instead, he gives us the solution, and that solution is the very one that he demonstrated on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave. We saw a beautiful illustration of that, didn't we? Just last week at Charlie Kirk's funeral, we saw that beautiful, beautiful moment when Erica Kirk stood there and forgave the murderer, the assassin of her husband. Where does that kind of integrity of spirit come from? We're going to be discussing all of those kinds of issues today, and I want you to feel free to call in with your questions because this is central to your life. It is absolutely central to your life. And even as I sit on this side of the mic, I am very well aware of the fact that every one of us listening today has been injured by someone to greater or lesser degree. Somebody has injured us. We all have need to forgive. And I feel quite confident that even as I'm saying these words, the Holy Spirit is at work. And the Holy Spirit is compelling you. The Holy Spirit is you know, affirming within you the need to forgive. But how to do that and how to walk in those footsteps? Well, now, that's what we need to know. That's what we need to discuss. And so fortunate are we that we have someone who has dedicated his professional career to this very topic, Dr. Robert Enright. And he is going to be joining us as we come back from our first break today. So I want you to, you know, I want you to really settle into this moment, because I think that it's a God-ordained moment for you in your life. I think that God wants to speak to you through the program today. He wants to impress upon you that through him, with him, and in him, all things are possible. That we rely not on our own strength, not on our own ability, but on the strength of God. And when we do that and we move in his way, I can tell you something, great things happen. Great things happen in us. Great things happen through us. Great things happen because of us. Because we said yes to the grace of God and moved in that grace, and we made God apparent, manifest in the world. That's your job, and that's my job. But we have to be freed up to do that. We cannot hold on to animosity. We cannot hold on to morbid anger. We cannot hold on to these things. We cannot hold on to a sense of our own righteousness. We cannot hold on to the notion, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve. No, that's all got to give way. It's all got to give way to the will of God. And the will of God has been stated clearly by his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And his words are given to us in sacred scripture and through the teachings of the church. And when we heed those, what we experience interiorly is freedom. Freedom. We are freed up. We find healing. We find hope. We have the opportunity to experience a new life in Christ, a new life that only comes by way of his salvific action alive in us. And that always includes forgiveness. So I'm eager to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Do want to remind you, too, about the opportunity available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature there is purposeful. It is there for your use to put in your question or comment. Let us know who you are, where you are, and how you're listening, if it isn't through YouTube or Facebook. And please tell us, what your question is, obviously, right? And we do also have the opportunity for you to text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Again, who are you? Where are you? How is it that you're listening? And do know that message and data rates may apply. I'm so eager to welcome our guest today, Dr. Robert Enright, and he is going to be with us right after the break. So stay tuned. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnnet Williams. We're going to be right back.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Hey everybody, we are so happy to be with you today on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday in the Lord, and I am so happy that we have a wonderful guest with us today. His name is Dr. Robert Enright. I was telling you a little bit about him prior to our break. It's an important thing for us to realize that forgiveness is not a request of the Lord. It's not a suggestion of the Lord. It is a mandate from the Lord, and he wants for us to enter into this process of forgiveness, because it's only through forgiving that we actually find healing. It's only through forgiveness that we actually find hope. And our guest today, Dr. Robert Enright, has made his entire career, his professional life, center around this whole issue of forgiveness. He is the founder of the Forgiveness Institute. He is at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, has done incredible things throughout the world, working with whole populations of individuals who have need to forgive. He was just telling me on the break here that he and his lovely wife are heading to Northern Ireland, to Belfast, in January to continue the work that they began there. He has taken this whole concept of forgiveness around the world. As a matter of fact, he has even developed a program, a curriculum, really, on forgiveness education for children and adolescents, which has spanned 10 world zones. These studies were done, 40% were in North America, 25% were in East Asia, 20% in the Middle East, and 15% in Europe. 1,472 students were analyzed, and it showed that following forgiveness education, the students on average increased their forgiveness toward a person who had hurt them, and they decreased significantly in anger. Why is that important? Because I think that some of what we have seen being played out in our national landscape recently is the reality of frustrated anger, repressed anger, and anger that boils over into criminal action, into the assassination and the murder of individuals who are innocent, into a type of behavior that borders on insanity caused by, you know, this morbid anger that wells up within a person. So this is a topic that is outrageously important. And Dr. Enright, I am just so pleased and grateful that you accepted our invitation. I've had you on Women of Grace television program a number of times, and I've always grown by our conversations. And I am incredibly grateful to you for your work, and incredibly grateful to God that he inspired you for this work, because I believe your work is for such a time as this. So welcome to Women of Grace Live radio program.
It's my honor to be with you again, Jeanette. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, you're so very, very welcome. I want to talk a little bit about what we have seen played out recently. I mean, you know, we saw the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It was just weeks following the terrible murder of those children while they were on their knees at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass taking place in Minneapolis. And we understand that this kind of treachery, this kind of heinous action comes from, you know, this pent-up anger that is not resolved, anger that comes from, you know, the disorientation of ideologies that can lead to such kinds of actions. But then in the aftermath of this, we saw something absolutely stunning on Sunday when Erica Kirk stood before those 100,000 people that had gathered there in Phoenix, Arizona, and millions watching on television, and turning her eyes to heaven, repeating the words of our Lord on the cross, she forgave the young man who murdered her husband. I want to talk a little bit about this whole necessity of forgiveness, that stunning example of it, and why this kind of situation occurs. Share with us a little bit what you've discovered in your work.
Okay, first of all, one thing I've discovered is that the definition of forgiveness is critically important. And because it has not been discussed very much in families, in communities, people misunderstand what forgiveness is. So I'd like to go over a bit first what we mean by that term when we're forgiving someone. First of all, it's a moral virtue. All moral virtues are centered on goodness toward others, such as justice, you're fair to others, patience, kindness, love. Forgiveness is a particular kind of moral virtue where you are good to those who are not good to you. You are having mercy on those who have not had mercy on you. And that's what makes it controversial. That's what makes people angry about it, actually, because they say, how dare you ask me to do that after what this person has done to me? I want to push that person aside. But what you're trying to do is cultivate in your heart a moral virtue that is really, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, a theological virtue requiring grace, as you said at the top of the hour. And as you do that, when you forgive and you're good to those who are not good to you, you slowly get rid of these toxic thoughts about the other, toxic feelings, which can really eat us up, and even toxic behavior where we seek revenge. And then we, to bring it to its fullness as a moral virtue, have more positive thoughts about the person, thinking of this person as having inherent worth because the person is made in the image and likeness of God, which softens the emotions toward greater compassion, and behavior that basically extends the hand saying, come out of the pit and join me person to person. But also what's misunderstood by many, many people, and that's why I get in trouble so much, these next 4 points, is that people confuse forgiveness with excusing. They say, what that person did to me was unfair and it'll always be unfair. Right. We don't have mercy on the behavior, it's on the person. And what happened to us was unfair, is unfair, and will always be unfair. You don't excuse what happened. Also, you don't forget. People get scared when I talk about forgiveness and say, you want me to forget about the compulsive gambler keeping asking for money? Well, I'll keep asking for money. No, you remember in new ways, where when you think about it, it passes through the heart where it doesn't harm you. The next one is a big one. When you forgive, you may or may not reconcile with the other, because reconciliation is not a moral virtue. It's a negotiation strategy where two or more people come together again in mutual trust. If you can't trust the other, you can't reconcile. So you can forgive from the heart and not go back to the boss who beats you up verbally. And then finally, this one gets me in trouble all the time too, Jeanette. People think in either or terms about forgiveness and the other moral virtues. So they think if they forgive, they can't seek justice. No, no, no. When we forgive, Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher, tells us this, as does St. Thomas Aquinas, when you engage in any moral virtue, bring others along with it to balance it. So when you forgive, ask for justice. When you forgive, when Erica Kirk forgives, I don't think she wants that person out of jail who could create mayhem again. Let's have forgiveness and seek justice at the same time. So if we realize it's being good to those who aren't good to us, most controversial moral virtue on the planet, and we don't excuse, forget, necessarily reconcile, and we don't throw justice under the bus, then people can start talking rationally about forgiveness.
Yeah. You know, these points are excellent points, and they're points for us to consider. And I think that when we begin to go through those in our own thought process, it disarms, in a certain sense, yes, that resistance towards forgiveness,
yes,
because you understand that you're not being expected to operate in ways that are contradictory to the great offense that was committed. And I love what you say about, you know, realizing that this person has intrinsic value. This is something I think that we've lost touch within our society. And I could go back to, you know, all of my reasons why I think that this has happened. And I've spent lots of time thinking about it and read lots about it. And I'm thoroughly convinced that, you know, that the linchpin of respect for human life first began to be wiggled out of position with the advent of contraception. I think that that was the beginning of it, and followed quickly by abortion. And it's not so much a big leap that once we disregard human life in its most nascent moments, its beginnings, that at some point in time, we will be able to make that leap to no life matters. It only matters if it matters to me. And so we see these kinds of behaviors taking place within our society today. And we know that yet every single human person is created in the image and likeness of God. And that needs to be stressed. I mean, that is the whole basis of the dignity of the human person. And, you know, I just want to share this with you, Dr. Enright, that following the killing of those children in Minneapolis, I went on the air and I asked prayers for the repose of the souls of the people that were killed. I asked prayers for the family members and all of those that were affected by this. And I asked prayers for the shooter. And I was stunned. I was stunned to have a flurry of activity out there on our YouTube and Facebook pages, people saying, I will not forgive. I will not forgive. I will not pray for this person. I cannot pray for this person. My heart is hard. And this is precisely the opposite of what it is that we want to do. My response was, you know, this person is created in the image and likeness of God. And this person is, God is crazy in love with this person. God wants the salvation of this person. Of course, this person had taken his own life, or her own life, his life. It was a young man who was transitioning. His life had taken his life. But the fact of the matter is, we are still called to pray. And I want to talk about how it is now that we can begin to live out this beautiful reality called forgiveness. How do we take those steps to achieving what it is that you outlined for us, God is asking us to achieve through his grace?
Yes. Well, I think what we have to do is put forgiveness on the table and take it seriously for ourselves, within our families, within our parishes, within our schools, within our Catholic schools. I think it's very important that we start making it a norm, that is something that's obvious and important, and we start to live it. And the only way we can do that is three things, according to Aristotle: practice, practice, practice. And so what we can do there is just start with the little things. Start with some annoyances and realize that we might be stereotyping a person by annoying behaviors, and try to get rid of that negative thinking about the person. And at the same time, remember, forgiveness is always getting rid of the negative and instituting the positive. Start cultivating in our thinking that all people, in fact, have worth. We all have inherent, built-in, special worth, because we're all unique and irreplaceable. And it says in Genesis 1, we're all made in the image and likeness of God, and it's repeated in the same chapter. Let's think about that, and let's do it in little things, even where we're not even that annoyed. Let's say we're in the grocery store in a long line, and we're waiting, and we're getting a little tired. When we get up there, maybe we can see the person not as someone who inconvenienced me, but someone who's been on his or her feet for 4 hours and is tired. See the person suffering. And when you see the other suffering, you can eventually start seeing that in those who've made you suffer. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you can begin to have mercy, to start seeing the suffering in others and getting rid of the negative thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, and start cultivating in the small ways the good thoughts, feelings, and behaviors toward those who aren't even annoying us but might be suffering. See that first, then work on those who've annoyed us a little, and then get to the big ones, those who might have hurt us even in childhood. But don't start there. Start with this. It's like becoming physically fit. Let's become forgivingly fit. And we don't become physically fit by running the marathon. We walk around the block a few times. Let's do that in our homes, in our own hearts, have discussions with our family. Let's open it up to parishes, shall we? And let's have discussions about forgiveness, and maybe bring in speakers and encourage sermons and make it a norm in parishes, communities, families, and in the human heart. That's what I would like to see. And I'm very greedy, Jeanette. I want to see this all over the world.
Of course you do. And I think that our Lord wants to see it all over the world too, because this is what he's called us to. You know, this is the kind of love of neighbor that he desires. Nowhere does it say that love is easy, and nowhere does it say in Scripture that love is a feeling or an emotion. What we see demonstrated time and time again in Scripture, and what we should know from our own experience, is that love is a decision. We make a decision. It might start off with an emotional base, you know, but we make a decision to love, and we love in the good, we love in the bad, we love through all seasons. It is, and this love is meant to extend, you know, to the whole human race, to everyone who is created in the image and likeness of God. You know, you're sharing with us about this this beautiful reality of doing little steps, you know, baby steps towards forgiveness. And I remember years ago, You and Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons had written a great book on actually for counselors called Helping Clients Forgive. And I gobbled that book up, interviewed the two of you on that, and you talked about this process of reframing. And I think that you've just defined that for us without giving us that name. In other words, looking at the other person for who the other person is. Inherently who they are. They are a child of God. They're created in the image and likeness of God. And then regarding them as a human person and beginning to see that they, like you, have much going on in their lives. They, like you, you know, and this is in the small things. This is not to make an excuse. It's just to come to an understanding of this joint humanity that we share. And I've often thought to myself, you know, that I've needed forgiveness many, many times, Robert, you know. There's many, many times when I haven't acted in the way in which I should have acted, or I have inadvertently hurt someone. And we want to make that right. We want to try to make up for that. But how beautiful when that person can extend that kind of courtesy towards the other that says, hey, listen, you must be going through a really rough time. I'm sure you didn't mean to snap at me. You know, that kind of a thing.
Sure.
It's just in these little ways, this courtesy for the other that is the lubricant of society that makes it function in such a lovely way. Well, friends, we want to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's our toll-free number, and we are here with you today. Our guest is Dr. Robert Enright. We're talking about forgiveness. Would you like more information about forgiveness, and we haven't hit that area yet? Well, give us a call here. Ask the question. Dr. Enright, I'm sure, can give you an answer. So please do give us a buzz. We're also eager to receive your questions or your comments out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Please use the chat feature there. Do know that we'll get it retrieved and up on the board. And also know that you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Know that message and data rates may apply. We're coming right back more with Dr. Enright on the other side of our break. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you. We have a guest today. Dr. Robert Enright is our guest, and we're talking about forgiveness. He's written a beautiful book. Actually, he's written a number of books on this topic, but I recently had the opportunity to interview him for our television program, Women of Grace, which airs at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, right there on EWTN television, repeating at around 11 o'clock p.m., I believe, Eastern Time. His new book on forgiveness is called Forgiving as Unity with Christ, and it's available for you at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. A lot of what we're discussing today is in this book, but this certainly does help for families, you know, to understand more deeply what forgiveness is. And I really want to recommend this to you moms and dads, grandparents, to get this book, to read this book, and to begin to implement it. And then you can present this to your family members in a way that is age appropriate for them. He has an entire curriculum available for children on teaching them the basics of forgiveness, helping them to walk through the steps of forgiveness. And really and truly, this should be part of moral training for each and every single one of us. We talk a lot about it, but we don't really know how to do it, and we don't know why we need to. But we do discover it through the work of Dr. Robert Enright, all available for you at EWTNRC.com. Again, the title of the book is Forgiving as Unity with Christ. So get on out there and purchase it. Our phone lines are lighting up, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. We'll address it. You can always text us too. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. And do let us know who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Data rates and message rates may apply if you use that option. Again, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Well, Dr. Enright, are you ready for us to go to the lines here?
I am ready.
Okay, very good. We've got Matthew Gubinski answering the phone today, Pedro Aquiles out there doing the retrieving, and Vanessa Sanchez doing all of that control stuff right there in the studio at EWTN. We've got Donna with us. I am so excited about Donna being with us. She is in Boston listening to us via Station of the Cross. How are you doing, Donna?
I'm doing well, praise God. And I have to tell you, I'm a wooden spoon girl. Mom used to do the same thing.
Oh, goodness sakes, okie doke.
So, the reason I'm calling, it has to do with forgiveness. I called you a while ago, and we talked about the rosary, and I've been doing the rosary faithfully every single morning.
Oh, you're so beautiful, Donna. Thank you.
I tell you, but of course, you know, when bad things happen, naturally you say, why am I doing this? I'm not getting anything out of it, you know. Natural human reaction. But I'll tell you what, when that Charlie Kirk assassination happened, and everybody, my first reaction years ago, because I have three sons, my first reaction would have been, find the guy that did it and do the same thing to him. That would have been my first reaction. But when Charlie Kirk, someone came up to me and said, oh my God, did you hear what happened? I said, I know. I said, but you know what? We have to forgive the shooter. Jeanette, it just came out, and I believe that it's because my soul is more at peace. Because I do the rosary every morning, I really believe that.
Well, you know, Donna, I have to agree with you. You know, this idea of prayer, you know, is absolutely essential to our lives. We need to be a praying people. God resolves so many things through our time of prayer. He opens our hearts. Healing processes begin within us. He helps to mitigate that animosity, that anger, that frustration that we feel, so that we don't act out of it. And I think that there is a very important connection there, Dr. Enright, and I want you to respond to Donna as well. But this idea of feeling anger but not acting out of the anger, acting opposite to the emotion, if it's an emotion that is detrimental and is an emotion that is an antithesis really to our life in Christ. Let's talk about that a little bit, and please do respond to Donna.
Yes. Well, Donna, thank you for your courage. And the idea of being angry at first is actually something St. Thomas Aquinas says is normal. He says, because if you have a sense of right and wrong, and there is a deep wrong either done to you or that you see, it is natural to get angry in the short run. But as Jeanette said earlier in this program, you then don't want that to abide in your heart and take up residence in the heart. That's where it can do a lot of damage. So your initial response of feeling angry is even condoned by St. Thomas Aquinas, with his footnote, don't let it continue. With regard to the rosary, what I think is really good and probably very helpful is you are saying, Mother of God, you are talking to the Mother of God every time you say one of the Hail Marys, and then you ask her to pray for you. And if you are feeling so angry it's getting a hold of you, you know what? You're not now going through that alone. You have the Mother of God. And I want to emphasize that again, those three little words, how profound the rosary can be to assist you in having mercy on those who don't have mercy on you, because you need the grace of God. And the Blessed Mother can pray to God for you for that grace, to soften your heart after the initial anger.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love what you're saying there. And it's you know, I just love these little moments when we know that God is at work. We're talking about forgiveness today, everybody, with Dr. Robert Enright, a topic that is absolutely timely, given everything that we've been experiencing lately here in the United States of America and so much of what's going on. We have an angry nation. We have an unforgiving nation. And we've got to try to close that divide. This polarization is toxic, and we see it. We see it. We feel it. You know, it's an entity, because it's diabolic. So it's powers and principalities. But Donna, you bring up the rosary, and today, Dr. Enright, I'm interviewing Father Dwight Longenecker, and we're talking about praying the rosary for healing, the healing power of the rosary. And what you're sharing with us, it just fits in so perfectly with that, because we're asking our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus, the one whom God the Father chose to bear salvation to the world, we're asking her to intercede and to pray for us, and her prayers are efficacious. They're so powerful. So when we turn to the rosary and we open ourselves up to the reality of those mysteries of Christ's life, you know, our Blessed Mother obtains for us those graces, and we can walk in them, and we can begin to allow them to displace that which is not of God in our hearts and in our souls. That's the spiritual life. I mean, that's this unity with Christ. You talk about forgiveness as unity with Christ, the title of your book. Again, friends, available at EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. But that is what it is. Unity with Christ is Christ's life taking up residence within us in all ways. So, Donna, I want to thank you for that beautiful testimony. And I want to thank you also for your diligence in prayer that obviously is manifest. And we have that by virtue of what you've shared with us, that your response was, yes, but we've got to forgive the shooter. That's absolutely right. It doesn't... And remember, and I want you to repeat them again before we go to Annie here, Dr. Enright. Remind us what forgiveness is not.
Forgiveness is not excusing what he did. What he did will always be wrong. We're not going to forget what happened, but we will remember in new ways when we widen our view of who he is in his full humanity, made in the image and likeness of God. Society may never reconcile with him. He may spend the rest of his life in a correctional institution, as an example. And we don't abandon justice. We don't pardon all criminals and open the jail cell door and say, come on out, I forgive you. No, you forgive from the heart, widen your view of who this person is. As you have had mercy on you from our Heavenly Father, you try to have mercy in your heart so you don't do the beating up of this person and hope nobody else does either. And so you strive for justice, a fair justice, a settled justice, one that makes sense and is temperate and balanced and not filled with revenge.
There you go. Very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you don't forget. You know, I mean, that forgiveness does not mean forget. You know, you can't forget something that's been done against you, but it is opening yourself up to the possibility of seeing it differently, this process of reframing the incident, not excusing it, as you so rightly stated. Let's get to Annie. Donna, thank you so very much for your call today, and thank you for including me in your rosary. I am so blessed by that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Annie is in Casper, Wyoming today. She's listening online. Good morning to you, Annie.
Good morning. How are you, Johnette?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. You have a question for Dr. Enright?
I do. My daughter and I are kind of in a bit of a bind right now. She is angry with me for some things in her past and is refusing to speak to me. And I'm wondering how I pray for forgiveness for myself without seeming selfish.
Okay, so are you talking about self-forgiveness, Annie? How to forgive yourself for doing certain things that disappointed your daughter?
Well, yes, sir, but also I want her forgiveness.
Okay. Okay. You could do both. Okay. And when you forgive yourself, you don't forgive your own sins. You simply have mercy on yourself, seeing yourself as a human being, a fallen human being, and that you are not perfect, but you don't continually condemn yourself. Of course, that's would be the evil one whispering in your ear, you committed a sin, you're no good for nothing anymore. Don't believe the lie. With regard to your daughter, I would do this. I would start by asking her what her inner world is like, having held on to this lack of speaking to you and what it means for her inner world. And I would ask her to take a courageous look at what that is doing to her. Forgiveness is not about her. Forgiveness is about offering the moral virtue of goodness to you. But a consequence of holding on to that anger is disruptive inner world, maybe restless sleep, some anxiety, depression. Hope can go down. She can even sometimes start not liking herself for hanging on to this. So I would ask, how's your inner world doing? And if it's not so great, and I would be shocked if it's anything less than not so great, I would gently say, well, there is a way out of that. And it takes time, and I'm not forcing you, because forgiveness is our free will choice. God has given us free will so we can love him on our terms without being robots and being forced into it. And if she can see that it's her ultimately her free will choice to walk a chosen, actually scientific path that shows healing occurs when people forgive, introduce that possibility of forgiveness without demanding it, without being entitled to it. And just let that sit with her, and she may need days, weeks, or months to let that percolate inside of her. And then if she is interested in actually working on forgiving, if she is a Catholic, I would urge you to pick up the book Johnette mentioned, Forgiving is Unity with Christ. If she has fallen away, I have a secular psychological book called Forgiveness is a Choice, with the American Psychological Association, and you could start there. It's not nearly as deep as Forgiving as Unity with Christ, which talks more about loving Jesus Christ, and then out of that love, loving the one who didn't love you. But start gently with her own inner world, because one paradox of forgiveness is when you're hurting and open your heart to the other, in this case, it would be your daughter toward you, Annie, she is the one who will experience healing. And it takes time to know that. And we do have scientific studies. If you go to our website, internationalforgiveness.com, you can find a whole bunch of our scientific studies showing that people who've been deeply crushed by others and who are depressed, anxious, hopeless, are restored in their well-being. See, I'm a psychologist, so I'm interested in these psychological outcomes when they forgive. And in fact, the forgiving works better than any other psychological approach I have ever seen. What do you think of that?
I think that's wonderful. Since she isn't speaking to me, would it be appropriate to put it in a letter?
Yep. Absolutely, positively. And you can start by saying, I'm not here to push you into anything. I'm just simply asking a question. What has your inner world been like since you have walked this particular path? And don't condemn that path. Just what has your inner world been like? And there is a way out. And you can blame Johnette and me, say you're listening to this program. Okay, blame us. Okay, and see what she says.
Yeah. I have one question for you, Annie. You know, when you, she's holding on to, it sounds like a whole lot of resentment. Resentment is so ugly. And I think that from time to time, we've all experienced it. And it's something that does put us, you know, sideways to ourselves when we walk in that. So I think that what Dr. Enright is suggesting here is something that she's going to immediately relate to. But when you say that, you know, she's angry at you for things that happened in her past, if in fact there is blame there for you, and I don't know that there is, but if in fact there were decisions that were made that were, you know, harmful for her in some way, I'm sure that you have, but if you haven't, you know, two words I think sometimes go a long way, and those two words are simply, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry if I hurt you. You know, and even if it was inadvertent, I'm sorry that I hurt you. It was not my intention. None of us is perfect, and parenting is not a parenting is not a it's not for the faint of heart. Parenting is challenging because we are broken and fallen people, and we're raising children who, in some way, unfortunately, experience our brokenness and our fallenness. And I can look back on many, many moments in my parenting experience and say, golly, I wish I would have handled this like that. I wish I wouldn't have said it that way. I wish I would have used different language. I wish I would have. But as a confessor once told me, you know, that's a demon. The demon of woulda, shoulda, coulda, if only. You can't change the past, but we don't have to let the past own us, and we don't have to let it own our children. We can rebuild from whatever the fallen situation was at a given moment in time. So I just would ask you to consider that, and if there is something there, and that's that can be at least potentially the starter for a conversation, I think that would be lovely. I thank you so much, Annie, for your call. I was in Casper once. I really enjoyed it there. It was many, many years ago, but I was invited there by a women's group, and I so enjoyed being with all of you. God bless you, Annie, and I'll be praying for this. I'm tucking this right into my prayer time today. 833-288-EWTN. Oh, we're getting close to the end of the show. 833-288-EWTN. We have V with us, and V is near Tallahassee, listening to us via Guadalupe Radio. Good morning, V. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. I have a prayer request. I'm struggling with my relationship with my two brothers.
Okay.
There has been great theft within the family, and 5 years ago, I was dealing, and I confessed and came clean with it, and no longer do that. I'm still tempted, but I'm not doing that anymore. I'm trying to make it short. Right now, for 5 years, I've been looking for a job, living in my car, and I have been unsuccessful. And during this time, my oldest brother, Rob, I won't say his name, he has stepped up and has been paying my bills, which are very little. I live on my mom's property. Home, it's paid for. I have no water. I have no electricity. I have no food stamps right now. We're still working on that. The bills he pays are very minimum. The thing is, he's always been the one that he does not understand giving. He's very against giving of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's very hurt and very resentful against me.
So, V, let me just interrupt here because we're running close on time, and I want Dr. Enright to have a chance to respond to your situation, which sounds very dire, and I want to assure you of my prayers. I will put you in my prayers. But Dr. Enright, this is a case of asking for forgiveness and having it somewhat met, but maybe not as fully as the response needs to be.
Yes, it's very much similar to what you had offered for the advice to Annie. The two little words, I'm sorry, can go a long way. And so if your brother, V, is resentful for having to give, because you said he's having trouble giving, then he is feeling that he is in an unjust situation, which in my humble opinion, I don't think he is. He's being altruistic. And so he's choosing to do it, which I think is marvelously good.
Yes.
And I think it'd be wonderful if he could see that he is reaching out in mercy to you. Maybe he would be less resentful if he could see that he is being altruistic rather than fulfilling a justice requirement. But in a certain way he is, because we do have to protect our family members. But either way, if you can help him to see what he's doing is good, he might reduce his resentment.
Yes, that's exactly right. So V, I'm sorry and thank you. Two very important words that might go a long way in your situation. I wish we could have spent more time with you, V. Thank you for calling in. And Dr. Enright, I mean, obviously this, you know, is a topic that people have lots of questions about. So I'm hoping that you'll accept our invitation to come back in the future.
I would be honored to do so, Jeanette.
Well, thank you so very, very much. It's been wonderful being with you. Again, friends, Forgiving as Unity with Christ, available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. Give them your website one more time there.
It's internationalforgiveness.com.
There you have it, friends.
They can get lots of information on forgiveness there.
God bless all of you today.